racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Let's begin again with aloha. But actually, it has to be mahalo. And thanks for the memories. Hi there, I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. And guess what? You're in the grill room, and we're powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Jay, it was a long, long trip back from Hawaii.
All right, well, I want to hear a little bit about it. I know that you guys were maybe going to go to Honolulu and be there at Wailea, and that was the last I heard. So bring me up to speed.
Well, let me set the scene. We did go to Honolulu, but it was only because of more flights from Honolulu getting us back to Houston. So it's Monday afternoon. It's about an hour from kickoff for Clemson in Alabama. I'm coming off a great weekend. Won two pro games on Saturday. Won two pro games on Sunday. All set to load it up for the collegiate championship game. And I'm not going to be able to see it. I inquire with the airlines. Do you have Wi-Fi? No, sir, not over the ocean. Well, how am I going to hear about the game? You're not, sir. I said, okay. And then I think the man upstairs reaches down because we approach the ticket counter. And Janice hears, we may be oversold on this flight. We might need volunteers. So Janice raises her hand. Lo and behold, we'll make it short here. What's the deal, American? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you $600 each, and we'll put you in a cab, and we'll take you to any hotel you want on Waikiki Beach, and you come back tomorrow morning. And I'm saying, wow, I'm going to get to watch the game. And sure enough, there I am, Jay, watching the game, looking out over Waikiki Beach. It was a dream come true. And, of course, the fact that I had sent it in on Clemson certainly made it even better. Little did I know.
Well,
this is not it, Jay. This is not it.
Oh.
Next morning, cab out to the airport. Janice hears, we may be oversold. Volunteer, boom, another 600 each. You're set for a flight this afternoon. And there's a good possibility we're going to need volunteers for that flight. Put us on the list. We're thinking every time we don't get on a plane, we're making 600 each. Well, we went down to the wire on flight number three. Four people somehow don't show up, and we have to get on board. But we get on board having watched the game, and $2,400 extra dollars in our pocket. Not a bad way to start the year.
Good for you two. That's awesome. I was expecting a horror story of missing flights or you getting bumped or whatever. You're off to a good start, just like the Clemson Tigers in 2019.
Wow, what a game that was. I absolutely really enjoyed that. Pretty exciting stuff, and certainly so was the Century Tournament of Champions. $6.5 million purse, $1.3 million going to the winner. How about last place, Jay? Last place. If I could have gotten in the field, or you gotten in the field, we'd have won $63,000. I mean, that's pretty nice for 72 holes in Hawaii.
It certainly is. It as we talk about it, it makes us wonder how you get guys who decide not to go, but that's their prerogative. But I mean, how do you turn down a week in Hawaii to work on your game? And here's $63,000.
Started out, as you know, Jay, 34-man player field, and Kevin Na had to withdraw. He broke his finger. Hope that he gets all right. He certainly was very, very disappointed about that. But you know who was not disappointed. Wow, what a week he had, Jay.
Well, what a Sunday he had. I mean, you know, you almost feel bad in a sense for Gary Woodland for playing as solid golf as he did for all 4 days. But what Xander Schauffele did in the final round, and what's interesting is that's the day that the golf course set up to have that type of round. The first 3 days were not like that. He took full advantage, holding out for eagle a couple of times, running in birdies at the end, and then waiting to see what Gary Woodland would do. I don't want to take anything. This is not a case of Gary Woodland losing a golf tournament. My goodness, Bob, this is a case of Xander Schauffele saying, I want to start 2019 off in a big way and make my presence known. A little 1,100 par 62, that'll do it.
Yeah, and let's put on the spikes of Gary Woodland. You sleep on a 54-hole lead. It's three shots. You know you got to play well in the fourth and final round. So what do? You go out there and shoot a 5-under par round with a three-shot lead to begin with, and you don't win. And our condolences to Gary Woodland. He was playing with a heavy heart over the weekend, lost his grandmother on Friday night. I will tell you this much about Gary Woodland. He is a class act. And a great competitor. Yes, there's some warning signs showing up with, now it's one out of eight converting 54-hole leads. That's not a good statistic to have on your resume. But I really like Gary Woodland. He's a very special guy.
You know, Bob, he said all the right things heading into that Sunday final round. And you talked about, you know, shooting 5-under par and not getting to hoist the trophy. He did everything he needed to do. I really, it's also almost a golf course that just fits Gary Woodland perfectly. But Gary Woodland's got big game, and he's part of that crew of athletic guys, Bob, like the Brooks Koepkas and some of the new guys we're seeing, the Cameron Champs. He's a good player, and like I said, this was a W for Schauffele, not a loss for Gary Woodland.
And Gary Woodland possesses one talent that nobody on the PGA Tour or nobody that I've ever seen covering the PGA Tour possesses, and that is that legendary walk, just like John Wayne. Gary Woodland doesn't walk to anywhere. He kind of shuffles to everywhere. It's just like it was made to go pick up trophies and whatnot. I mean, seriously, next time you watch him, listeners, if you haven't made note, watch that Gary Woodland shuffle. For those of us old enough, you can associate it certainly with John Wayne. He had that very distinctive walk. All right, let's hear from Xander Schauffele. Now, on that victory, he certainly was excited.
You know, the day was awesome. I feel like we obviously played great, minus the first hole. And, you know, it's nice to win in this fashion. So it is pretty special to, obviously we're out here in Maui and tournament champions, but it's nice to play well early in the year. So it should be a pretty fun 2019.
He's just amazing with his composure. And Jay, I want you to sit on this little tidbit. Right now, Xander Schauffele has won as many times as Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, four times in the last 18 months. You know, clearly he is putting himself in that consideration of some of the game's elite. Now, as we talk about, Bob, the major championships factor into that. But that's a staggering thing when you say that he's got the same number of W's as Ricky Fowler. And a lot of people don't know him. If you're not a golf geek, you probably don't know that much about Xander. But he clearly has played tremendous golf the last 2 years and was a rookie of the year when he won that at Greenbrier. And you have to start, putting him in as we start looking towards the bigger events in the majors. And this was a huge, huge round of golf.
Yeah, it really was. And when you look at the family background, no surprise there's tremendous athletic prowess in that Schauffele family. Can you imagine it? Both his grandfathers were good enough, what we call it soccer, they call it football, but the highest league in Europe, the Premier League, both his grandfathers participated at that high level, so certainly some tremendous athletic stock in that Schauffele family.
Well, and he seems to have a little knack, Bob, for the dramatic, and we're starting to see that now. You know, he was runner-up at the Players Championship and the Open Championship in just his second season. He's going to take a couple of weeks off. He's going to come back at Farmers Insurance. And as we talked about with the start of the season back at the end of October, if you can get an early win, I mean, if you get a win before they head to the West Coast, or by goodness, before they go to Florida, I mean, it makes the year, depending on how you view it, I mean, it makes the year so much more easy. You don't have to worry about status. You know where your tee times are going to be. I mean, it's just a huge boost, and you know you're going to Maui again.
Yeah, very good point there, Jay. And, you know, as the Century Tournament of Champions gets better, and this was just the second year for the title sponsor, Century, they're based in Wisconsin. They have loyal, dedicated employees. They're really becoming a powerhouse in the insurance business, and they're doing it their way. Made some amazing revelations while we were in Maui. They contributed to the Maui United Way. They're big benefactors of the United Way in Wisconsin. They wanted to extend it over to Maui, plus giving away some scholarships to local students that want to attend the University of Hawaii education system. So hats off to Century as a company. They seem to be enjoying the relationship with the PGA Tour and with the quality of galleries that are showing up. We saw a noticeable difference in the amount of people following golf this year than just last year, and at the rate they're going, I expect it to even be bigger and better next year. Well, and there's some plans on the drawing board that may have Jay Randolph Jr. Coming to Maui. I don't want to say anything about it right now, but it certainly is a possibility.
Well, let me tell you something, and I've said this before, Bob, and I know it's a high tariff out there. I mean, it's not the... We're not talking about a cheap vacation, but if you ever wanted to go to a PGA Tour event and be as close as you can get to the Players and be in one of the most unbelievable, beautiful environments in the world, that's it. I mean, you can't get any better. And they can, I mean, some of the, just looking at some of the pictures, and I was lucky enough to be there once, you've been all over the world, Bob. I don't know that it gets any better. I know you're a little partial to New Zealand, but I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, it really is. And a couple of interesting statistics about Hawaii. They are the most remote islands on the planet. It's 2,500 miles in any direction if you want to reach a mainland, if you're leaving Hawaii. And which I knew, I think, in the past, by the way, that's the 20th consecutive year that our Grill Room team has covered the Tournament of Champions. We're very proud of that aspect. A lot of good times. But, you know, Hawaii is smack dab in the middle between L.A. and Anchorage, Alaska. When I heard that, I said, man, that seems strange to be here in Hawaii talking about Anchorage, Alaska, but that's the case. Justin Thomas, by the way, he fired a nice round in that fourth round, nice 65. Justin Thomas looks to be swinging real well. And quickly, about Rory McIlroy, Mr. Randolph, he did certainly showed some signs of brilliance, opened up 69, 68, 68, had his mom and dad there. You know, he lives in the United States now. He's going to play more in the PGA Tour. He wasn't razor sharp, but I think he was pleased the way he did perform, Jay, and that bodes well for him this year on the PGA Tour, mainly looking to accomplish that goal in April of winning the Masters and enjoying the very elite of golf as Grand Slam winners. Rory McIlroy will have that opportunity when we get to Augusta National in April. And what do you think of Rory's performance, Jay?
I think he's in a really good place, Bob. You know, he didn't fire on Sunday, but that's okay. He looks like I watched him tee off in the final round, and he just looked so fluid and looked so solid. I think that, you know, he is poised to return in a big way, and I think that talking about spending more time in the U.S. will be good for him. Really, when you look at that leaderboard, the guys you want to see like JT and Rory and Dustin Johnson, and then don't sleep on Mark Leishman. Not Mr. Excitement, but Mr. Consistency. This guy can't get off a leaderboard. And there was Bryson. You know, I do a show on Sunday morning. I told my co-host, I said, this guy might do something weird today. You never know what you're going to get from DeChambeau. You know, and you had some disappointments maybe in terms of Koepka, Reed, and Molinari, who didn't play as well as they would like. But I thought it was a great start to 2019 golf.
Yeah, great observation, Jay. And you're certainly right about Bryson DeChambeau. The more I put an eyeball on him, the more I come away. Yes, he's a mad scientist. Yes, he does things differently. But let me assure you, he possesses a lot of talent to play this sport of golf. And I think his performance under the new rules by the USGA, effective on January 1st, 2019, where you are allowed to leave that flag stick in, Bryson DeChambeau made enough putts with that stick in. I think amateurs across the world probably experimenting with that right now. And I will say this much, from all the reports I heard while we were over there, Jay, tests being done by this organization, that organization, Dave Pelz weighed in on it. It seems to be, the early report is, that it's an advantage for you to putt with the flag stick in. Listeners, maybe you want to give that a shot next time they go out.
I you know, originally I was like, no, you know, and Bryson's being Bryson, and you know, you don't need the flag stick in. I mean, but watching it, as you talked about, hearing people discuss it and some of the true science behind it, there will be times when I leave it in. And I think the other side of it is people are now starting to think if they walk up to a green and the flag is, you know, 40 feet from them, they don't have to put their bag down or go to the flag. I think it is going to help the pace of play. I really do. You know, we're going to have that moment, Bob, at some point, if somebody continues to do it or Bryson does it, where it's going to be that one in whatever number that hits the flag and pops out. And then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be, wow, you know, that could happen this week. But I think that people are going to try, they're certainly going to try it, no doubt.
Yeah, you're right about that, Jay. And matter of fact, I think we should discuss the new rules that went into effect on the first of the year. Let me begin, though, by reiterating the announcement made by Mike Davis, head of the USGA. He said he's stepping down from course setup duties at the U.S. Open Championship. John Bodenheimer is taking over those responsibilities, and lo and behold, I read the announcement, and then I go check Facebook, and certainly I'm a mental midget on Facebook at best, but one of my Facebook friends is John Bodenheimer, and I said, John, congratulations, and he said, thank you, Bob. So I'm talking about new rules of golf on Facebook. Good golly, 2019. Never thought I'd be around. Anyway, new rules.
Let me just say something for a moment, because I got to know Mike Davis pretty well through my relationship with Tom O'Toole Jr. here from St. Louis, the former USGA president. Bob, you and I and the people that have been around the United States Open know how significant this is. I mean, Mike Davis was the guy, and is still the guy with the United States Golf Association, but not as it relates to course setup. I mean, in the inner circle, and from a player's perspective, this is a huge deal. And it's interesting that it's coming off the heels of Shinnecock, and then to Pebble. I find it very interesting that this all just kind of came about.
Well, valid point there, Jay Randolph Jr. And I know that I'm going to be reaching out. The Grow Room's going to be reaching out to John Bodenheimer. We want to get him on the air to maybe shed some light on what precipitated this. You know, new role for John. He's highly respected in the world of golf, and I, for one, think he's going to do a marvelous job. And let's formally wish John Bodenheimer from the Grill Room, you know, the very best of luck. All right, getting back to the flagstick, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, we know, putted with it, but Mark Ralphing and Brandel Chambly, both those guys of the Golf Channel, they said they have independently done some research on their own. They've analyzed the pros and cons, and they concluded that it is a definite advantage to leave it in. Where does Jay Randolph Jr. stand?
Again, I think this is going to become a feel issue for the golfer. Do they feel like it gives a better opportunity? I mean, on an uphill putt, in theory, yeah. Maybe on a downhiller, no. You could get that speed going. And it also is going to depend on what type of flag stick. Is it one of those thinner ones like we were used to, or the thick one? I mean, you know, there's a lot to it, but there's no question that after watching Bryson over the 4 days, everybody's talking about it to each other. And I think out in a place like Normandy, we'll see people doing it. And as I said earlier, Bob, I also think it's going to move people around the green more. I mean, guys may say, hey, we're not taking the flag stick out today. They'll play quicker. I think it's a good thing. It's going to take time. You know, like I said earlier in the show, there will be one of those weird ones where a guy leaves it in on a big putt and it doinks off instead of just going right down in. And then it'll be another debate at that point. But I think most people are going to give it a try.
Well, I know one that's not going to give it a try. At least that's what he told us in the media center at Maui. That's Justin Thomas. He went so far to say there's no way he could take his golf game seriously if he had a 10-foot putt and left the flag stick in. He said, I just can't do it.
He said, Bob, you know, can you imagine me putting for the tournament on Sunday from 10 feet and leaving the flag stick in? How weird that would look. Well, again, I mean, I think it's going to depend on what type of putt you may have. It's going to be fascinating. It's one of those things we'll watch and continue to watch, like the situation with the drop where no longer from shoulder height or over the shoulder, where it used to be over the shoulder, and then it went to shoulder height. And now, Bob, it's knee height.
Yeah, and the shorter you are, the less the drop is. I can guarantee you that. It's going to be great for our listeners, though, because you're going to have your hand right on the pulse there at Normandy. You'll get reaction from the regular players, the grassroots of this game, people that we want to get their perspective on the new rules of golf.
And, Bob, I'm going to get that type of feedback from the people that play out at Normandy, and we'll relate it to our listeners. You know, big news at Century, big news with the rules, and big news over the pond. The European Ryder Cup captain, the next one, is going to be Padraig Harrington. And Bob basically told us this past July that Harrington was going to be the guy during the British Open. I know it's not a surprise to you. I wonder how much game he still has left.
Well, he's got a lot of game left, but he's going to take this seriously. I think, you know, the Europeans have gotten it down pretty good. You know, I think Padraig Harrington, quite frankly, is one of the strongest guys they could get for being a captain on the U.S. side. He's very popular over here. He's never had any problems. People love Padraig Harrington. I think he'll do a great job. You know, for a little bit there, it was kind of iffy. Was Lee Westwood's hat in the ring? Was Luke Donald's hat in the ring? When both those guys came out, Jay, and kind of indicated that their focus is going to be to try and make the team and play on the team. That really cleared the way, I think, for Padraig Harrington. Congratulations, European Tour. I think you picked an excellent choice to head the European side when we get to Whistling Straits next year.
And we'll take a look at the Sony Open in Hawaii after a short timeout. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, or iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
The Capilore Villas Maui was the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capilore Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove, the new face of golf. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. He's Bob Bupka, back from Hawaii, the VOG, the voice of golf. You can find him at Bob Bubka VOG on Twitter. And Bob, while you came back to the mainland, the boys, the PGA Tour, are still out at a fantastic golf course, Waialae.
It really is, Jay, and happy to report 33 players completed 72 holes at Maui. 23 of those 33 have made the short 18-minute flight over to Honolulu. I love that flight. You take off from Maui. The captain says, we're now getting airborne, and now we're into our descent into Honolulu. And, of course, you see Diamond Head Crater. Beautiful, beautiful island there, and the players really enjoy it. Great golf course. You alluded to that. A lot different, though, Jay, than the Plantation Course in Maui. Waialae is right down on ocean level, really subject to ocean winds, famous palm trees. If you're going to watch it on TV, take a look at that magnificent par 3 16th hole, literally framed by palm trees, just a beautiful sight. Big name, I guess, Jay, making the trip that was not eligible to play in Maui, Jordan Spieth, but he's teeing it up this week.
I love it. I love seeing that. It shows me gumption. It shows me want to, if you will. You know, instead of laying around and chilling out with his new bride, he's getting on a plane. He's going out there and he's teeing it up. I look forward to seeing how he plays. And you talked about the difference of the golf course. You know, it'll be interesting. Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau off both playing well at the Plantation Course, how they do. And I saw the note from Janice, and maybe you guys can give me a little more on it. Ollie Schneider-Jans playing this week with the new caddy, Damon Green, who, of course, has been a staple with Zach Johnson.
Yeah, a move, it was Zach Johnson that initiated it, according to Joy Green, the wife of Damon Green. Damon was quite taken aback by the announcement. Zach Johnson just felt the need for a change. But congratulations to Damon Green, Ollie Snyder Jams. A lot of people.
Good bag.
Yeah, good bag. Good point, Jay. And I think with Damon Green on there, they're going to be able to make some noise. Great to see our buddy Kevin Kisner. He's going to be teeing it up in Sony. He's somebody you might want to keep an eye on. He's not that long, but he's deadly accurate. And at Wiley, Jay, as you well know, you got to keep it in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, this is not a bomber's paradise. I mean, this is an old school golf course in terms of design. They usually, make the rough a factor, which is good and makes that accuracy a premium. So I think this, I love the first two to start the year. And you guys are still recovering from all the great stuff you saw last week. And it kind of continues in a different way this week at Wiley, and then we start heading west, or I guess heading east. West for me, east for the players.
Yeah, and one name that we certainly would be remiss if we didn't focus a little bit of attention on, playing Wiley, this guy Cameron Champ, he does have the firepower to take it over every palm tree that guards every corner at Wiley. Now, will he do that and go bombs away? That remains to be seen. I guess he's, according to what he told me, he's going to try and get the feel for it during his practice rounds, Monday, Tuesday, playing the Pro-Am on Wednesday. But this could be a green light special where Cameron Champ driving most of the par fours. Boy, when you watch him hit a golf ball, it's not even a hit. When you watch him launch a golf ball, it is a sight to behold.
Yeah, it's a unique time in our game right now, and I'm loving it, and I appreciate the folks that have a passion for the game, because right now it's a great time, Bob. There's no question about it. And Bob, you were talking about Cameron Champ. What a fascinating conversation you and I got to have with his instructor, Sean Foley. And we'll hear a little bit of that when we return here on The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KPRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, or iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Well, certainly, we want to take this opportunity to talk to Sean about Cameron Champ, but it's not the normal relationship where this high-profile player came to Sean Foley and said, look, I want to pay you big money to be my coach. you actually, according to Cameron, correct me if I'm wrong, approached him when he was, what, 15 years old or something, and certainly didn't have the financial means to solicit your services. Give us that story.
Well, I mean, look, it basically John Wood, who was caddying for Hunter Mahan all those years we worked together, he went to high school in Sacramento with Cameron's father, and they played baseball and all that. And so I guess Wood asked me, can you take a look at my friend's son? He'll be in Orlando for a tournament or somewhere in Florida. Can you spend time with him? And I said, yeah, for sure. And that to me doesn't really mean anything as far as I kind of look at it a little bit more like Robin Hood economics. So I charge the son of a CEO and son of a janitor on a Canadian socialist scale. So it's to me, a kid like that, and all my kids, to be honest with you, I don't really charge any of them, is, you know, the investment, as I saw a speed I'd never, ever witnessed before at that age. I saw a hunger and almost a necessity for him to have to make it. And so I couldn't imagine not helping him. And, you know, helping him, my younger players are really safe from my own preferences now. You know, when I came on tour, even though I didn't think it, I was very methodical in what I did. And to be honest with you, I was very fortunate that my first three players kind of matched that movement that I wanted, but it wasn't for everybody. And so at this point, I've studied long and hard with a lot of brilliant people who, none of them really in the golf industry, people at professors at universities. And I know why things work now better than I ever have. And so when I say that the young players are safer, growing up the way I grew up with my heroes being Butch and Led and stuff, it was like, you know, the club has to go here and here. But then you would look at different players like a Trevino or a Furyk and be like, well, why does that work when that's not even close to what we think is right? And then they're the best. And so starting to try to understand, Cameron has that move from the top where he lays the club down like Sergio, miles on the downswing. And so a player like that needs to make sure that they have length in their backswing and need to make sure that they continue to rotate. So because we've created now more principles in why things happen rather than opinions and guesses, it's that. So when I looked at Cameron right away, it's DJ 2.0. As impressed as I was with his 4-iron and his driver in 3-wood, I was equally unimpressed from 150 yards in. Usain Bolt was not designed to run a marathon. And so it would take a long time to get Usain Bolt to run a marathon. So we've just really worked hard with his chipping and his pitching and his wedge play and then his understanding of himself and the golf course. So, I mean, that's the benefit to, like, say, Butch and I, is that we've been around some of the greatest players of their generation and watched how they worked. And I think we'd be lying if we'd say that they've learned more than we have. I've definitely learned more from Justin Rose than he has from me. So to see him as a pro kind of go about it, how does he handle the gallery? When does he sign autographs? How does he do his schedule? How important is nutrition? You know, all these little small things that turn into mountains. I feel like with Cameron, yeah, I'm there as a technical advisor for him with his golf swing, but the mentorship role has always been much more like as a big brother. And, you know, we've talked about everything, you name it, period. So that's where we're at, and getting him to understand that, you know, this is a difficult game, and hitting it far is awesome, and there's nothing like it. But, you know, if you three-putt three times around, it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, the Players' Champion last year is the shortest player on the PGA Tour. So it's kind of, for me, who do I pair him with in practice rounds? So I think of guys like Webb Simpson and Jim Furyk, guys who I think get absolutely every ounce out of what they do, kind of get him to get some mentors that way.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.